congratulations to our next guest. I've known him for a long time. And one of the truly, I guess, you know, a guy that has always struck me, someone that enjoys life and always has a smile on his face and always the first guy to rip you. But if he doesn't rip you, it means he doesn't like you. Chris Pronger, Hockey Hall of Famer, is on the line. Chris, thanks for doing this. Listen, I've been the subject of many of your rips. Yeah. How you doing, pal?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good.
I've known you for a long time, and you're just one of those guys. You've always had, you're intense. We know how intense you are on the ice. We know how physically dominating you were at times during your career, how intimidating you were. But you have one of the most infectious personalities and smiles. And listen, I'm not here to kiss your butt, but man, when a guy enjoys life like you do, it really shows. And first and foremost, congratulations on the induction into the Hockey Hall of Fame. Were you surprised? What were your emotions? How did you feel? It's a pretty amazing honor.
Yeah, it is. It's very humbling to know that you're going into the Hall of Fame with the game's greats and all those great players before me. It's pretty special and something that, my family is very excited about. I'm excited about and looking forward to November. It's going to be a lot of fun.
We had Angela Ruggiero on last hour, and she said, please take it easy, Arner, in November. So I wanted to make sure that I passed that along to you. She is a beauty.
Very gentle.
Yes, she is a beauty. Look, let's talk about the career, and it spans a long period of time. I mean, getting drafted by Hartford and Mr. Karmanos being inducted as well, who I imagine that you know pretty well. But let's talk about some of the other guys that got inducted and how you thought of them, because you played against them. And Sergei Fedorov was a guy that was, an absolute magician. Phil Housley was up for induction before and ended up getting in. And, you look at Nick Lidstrom and the way he played over the course of his career. Just some great names. This was a slam dunk year. Talk a little bit about those different players and your view on them.
Yeah, it's a great class, and I think you look at the three defensemen, we all played very different games. Phil Housley, great transition, great passer, very offensive player, probably wasn't known for his defensive abilities, more his offensive abilities. Nick Lidstrom, great two-way player, great passer, great quarterback in the power play, very, very good defender. And then myself, played a little bit more of a physical game, a little more in-your-face, transition game, power play, penalty kill, more all-around game. All three of us kind of played different ways, which I think is pretty cool. And then you had Sergei Fedorov in with his great skating ability and playmaking and, a real, real good two-way player. He probably didn't get enough credit for his defensive abilities, more known for his skating and his puck handling skills, but Angela. I mean, she was no schlub in her own right. A great career in the women's game and for USA Hockey and all the rest of that. So it's a great group.
So you started off in Hartford and you got traded to St. Louis early in your career, and Mike Keenan was your coach, and then Wayne Gretzky came in during your first season, I think late in the first season, but you ended up being captain of that team when Brett Hull left. Talk about your time in St. Louis, because I think that's when you established yourself as one of the top defensemen in the National Hockey League. Talk about that transition from being a high draft pick in Hartford and the pressure on you, and then going to St. Louis.
Yeah, that was kind of the turning point. I obviously went through some tough times my first year in St. Louis with the Boo Birds and struggling on the ice and struggling off the ice and all the rest of that. But I think with that type of adversity comes a challenge and overcoming those hurdles and different adversities that you face. If you're able to overcome them, you're going to become a better player, a better person. And life isn't easy. And sometimes we make the game more difficult than it needs to be. And I just simplified things and as the season wore on, just kind of blocked out the rest of the stuff and just got back to playing the game and enjoying the game. Things kind of started shooting up for me from there, started training a lot better and getting in better shape. I think having, a guy like Al MacInnis there to watch and learn from and study and train with, I was able to, you know, take my game to that next level and ultimately fulfill the so-called potential that, you know, everybody always talked about.
Okay, and look, you talk about working out and making that kind of a commitment. Is there a time where, you know, the light bulb kind of goes on where I'm either going left or I'm going right here and it's going to go one way or the other?
Well, it was, you know, after that first year, and you know, Mike Keenan was big on working out and VO2 max and, you know, all the different metrics that that they study. But, you know, after that first year, I went home and trained pretty hard. You know, I did my own thing, but I trained pretty hard and really made a concerted effort to get in the gym and get stronger and make sure I was coming into camp in good shape and riding the bike and doing all that. And then the following season, I started working out with a trainer, and things really took off from there. I had a really good year the following year. And once you start having some success and you start kind of building on top of each year successively, you really start seeing the body of work get better and your fitness level getting better and the way your body feels and the strength and capabilities that you have because of that training goes up. So it was just, you know, a maturation process as well as understanding, you know, I was going to feel better by training that way. And with the long grind of the season and how difficult it can be, making sure your body is physically prepared to take the beating and pounding that you get on a night in, night out basis in the National Hockey League was imperative to making sure I was going to be a complete player.
Okay, and you're a member of the Triple Gold Club. You won the Stanley Cup. You've won gold medals in Salt Lake and Vancouver and the World Championships and the World Juniors. I mean, you incredibly decorated career. We won the Norris Trophy. Hard to pick out a highlight. And now being in the Hall of Fame, you got to add that to the carousel of choices here. I mean, you got a lot. Yeah, is that, do you think that's the highlight now? Like, what is the highlight for you?
Well, this is probably the top of the list, but, you know, I think winning a Stanley Cup in Anaheim, being able to win two gold medals, one on home soil in Vancouver, which was remarkable and a great feat for that team and the country. And, you know, I think just for me, I don't really have one particular moment, play, game. You know, I think it was more the body of work, the ability to know that, you know, the opposition knows they're coming into hostile territory and they know I'm coming and going to give my all each and every night and play consistently at a high level each and every night and coming to win. And, you know, I think if there's anything, you want to be known for being a winner and leaving it all on the ice. And, you know, I hope that's something that's talked about.
And we only got a couple of minutes here, but I want to touch on this because, you know, look, you get the accolades, you get the limelight. We talk about the gold medals and the Stanley Cups and the Norris Trophies and the Hall of Fame. But look, you had to retire because of a severe eye injury. And I know that you went through some rough times. And, you know, there's a great piece in Sports Illustrated talking about you with your children. And you know, you told your kids, you have to stop scaring me. I'm going to whack you or something because I can't see things coming anymore. How are you feeling these days? And how did you handle that? I know I texted you a bunch of times to see how you were doing. And there were some days where, you know, you sounded like you were going through a rough time. How are you doing these days? And how did you deal with that?
Yeah, I'm doing a little bit better. You know, it's a long, drawn out process, and it's you know, a lot of baby steps. But the eye, you know, I still have, you know, a few issues with my eye, but overall, not bad. I don't push myself to the highest limit anymore. I don't need to push myself to that level anymore. So it's been good. You know, my kids, I'm able to do pretty well everything with my kids. I'm able to do pretty much everything from a day-to-day basis. You know, I just can't train and work out like I used to, but I don't need to. So, you know, there's a lot of things that I shouldn't say a lot. But there's a few things I really can't do, but overall, on a day-to-day life standard basis, I'm quality of living. I'm pretty good.
Okay, before we let you go, you're my hero for a multitude of reasons, not the least of which getting us into that 2000. I told the story the other day. Remember the 2002 gold medal party when Cuba Gooding Jr. was standing outside with me and Bruckheimer, and the Canadian hockey guy wouldn't let us in, and then we texted. I don't think you could text back then, but we sent you smoke signals or something, and then you came down and got us and got us.
And I came down and...
you got us into the party, but look, you're how does it feel to be an Arizona Coyote? That's really what I wanted to ask you.
It feels amazing. I'm looking forward to the next couple years, and I'm just kidding.
No.
Hey, look, it is what it is, you know. To be honest with you, you know, I was telling somebody the other day, I go, it really has absolutely nothing to do with me. It's two teams making a business transaction, and I just happen to be in the middle of it.
Well, you were in the middle of a lot in your career, and, I mean, just incredible coming from where you did to where you are now. Now you work for the NHL. You've done, you know, the one quote I will leave you with is my favorite Luc Robitaille quote of all time. Every time Chris Pronger's on the ice, he takes a penalty. It's just the refs can't call it.
Yeah, it's... you know what happens. You know, you gotta leave your mark out there somehow.
And you left it on a lot of people, man. Congratulations on the Hall of Fame induction and a great career, Chris. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, Joey. Appreciate it. Take